Hey Rockers, Carly Jewel here, and you're listening to Unsung Songs Down Under.
Hi everyone, this is Eric Stripparo with Unsung Songs Down Under. You might be watching this on YouTube or listening on the podcast. Whichever way you're doing it, today we have a special treat. We have Carly Jewel from Melbourne. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So I'd go straight into that and play one of your songs so that we get everyone who doesn't know you familiar with that. And today we're going with Dancing with the Devil.
Nice.
Cut me with your knife, cut me with your knife, leave me in the dark.
Massive, really, really good and nice. Thanks, Carly.
You're welcome.
So, this is Carly Jewel, everyone, and Carly is going to tell us a bit about herself and how she's going through the recording process, the writing, and how she's getting her music out there. Even if right now we know we're stuck in COVID, so how is that working out for you?
You know, it's been all right for me. I've been writing and, you know, we're just kind of getting ready to come out and start recording. I think it's given me a lot of time that I haven't always had. At first, it was probably really hard, like, not to have, like, live music and to be able to, like, do our rehearsals every Friday night and things like that. But about halfway through, I realized, you know, like, it was really an important time because we don't ever really get this time. So for me, it's been really good. I was able to, you know, organize new merchandise, do a lot of, you know, things that, like, yeah, I wouldn't have a lot of time to do. So, yeah, I'm just ready to record now and see where the next songs take us.
How many songs did you write in this very long lockdown?
About 17.
Wow, that's heaps.
Yes.
So how do you write?
You know, like, it just, for me, it's very easy for me to write every day. I'm an everyday writer. I went to work on a demo for a new song the other day and wrote a new song on top of that. So I really have to, like, stop writing. But yeah, it's, I've written heaps. It just happens. I don't know what sparks it or how it happens. It just happens. This new one, you know, I was just kind of sitting there and I just kind of thought of a chorus and yeah, that was how that one started when I was meant to be working on another one. But yeah, it can happen anywhere.
That's the nature of the beast.
I don't know what comes first, really, if it's the melody or whatever, but I do tend to really work on the hook of the song first. It's like the most important part of the song is the hook. So it's normally is what comes first, and then I'll kind of work around that. But the hook's the most important part.
Without the hook, there is no memory of the song, probably. You know, you have that 10 seconds at the beginning of a song to get into that. And if you have a hook there already, even better.
Yeah.
So you play guitar, and I guess your father was very influential in the way that you started playing. Can you tell us a bit about it?
You know, growing up at home, we had a recording studio where, you know, where Pop did all his work. And so I was just always with him, you know, and then just growing up around that, like, I don't think I've ever really not had music in my life. So I wouldn't know what it's like to, like, not have it in my life. And yeah, I mean, he was busy songwriting and recording tracks and stuff. And I would just always be in there with him, you know, like, trying to play guitar or sing or just watch everything he did, you know, just learning from a very young age. I just found it absolutely amazing. Like, he was my biggest idol, you know. And I'm so lucky to have had the you know, the greatest teacher in the world to teach me and pass that gift on, you know. I think it's definitely something that it's passed on. It's definitely something in the blood. So yeah, I mean he would be playing guitar and I used to always, like, just stand in front of him and strum the strings, and used to listen to a lot of Johnny Cash songs. So, yeah, that's how it started, standing in front of him, and he'd play the chords and I'd strum the strings at the age of 3. And then when I was 5, I got my first guitar and that was it.
That's amazing. A very good start to actually get your demos ready. So moving on from there, how do you actually get the demos together now that everything is so digital in a way?
Most of them, like, we had already kind of just, like, I came up with an idea and we'd been at rehearsals and we just kind of all recorded them on our phones, and then Adrian will go home and, like, make the complete demo. So now he's going to send them to me and I'm going to start putting vocals on them at home. I don't do, like, a lot of recording really at home, but I make enough to just do, like, really shitty demos, and then I send them off and be like, I wrote a song, and then we normally just go straight to rehearsal. We kind of tend to, like, I'm very alone in the writing process. Like, I write by myself and I don't really share that with anyone until it's, like, finished. And then once it is, I'll normally, like, you know, stick a little video up on, you know, the socials and stuff, because I always want people to know, like, you know, who I am as an artist and where I write my songs and what they're about and stuff like that. Like, you know, just be real all the time. So, yeah, that's how we do it. I wing everything.
So I'm a winger. Boss.
Yeah.
So how is your band? How many pieces do you have in your band?
Yeah, there's four of us all together. Yeah. And there's four. Just drums, guitar, bass. That's it.
And it's, so you're playing guitar in the band or you only sing?
Look, I used to. I stopped guitar actually because, one, I had a shoulder injury for like years. I've had a bad shoulder, and like just playing guitar and like having my arm over it, even though it wasn't much, it really started to, like, I just couldn't do it anymore. But I also realized, you know, I'm a very nervous person. So if I've got to play guitar and do this and do that, like, it's just too much. I can't handle it. Like, I have everyone that knows me knows, like, I am just absolutely a nervous wreck before every show. I have the worst nerves. I try and always say it's exciting, but it's actually really horrible to fight before. Like, now I just tell myself, no, it always happens, you know. It's going to be fine. So taking guitar away from me as well, you know, because I always wanted to be perfect everything I play as well. Taking that away actually gave me like this new look on like being the front woman that I kind of become in the last couple of years. And I think I was really able to just like become someone I didn't even know I was, you know, and really like capture people and just hold them there. And then once I really got like the taste of that, I was like, right, there's no more guitar. But I miss playing guitar. And I am going to be playing guitar with a lot of these new songs.
Oh, that's exciting. Can't wait to see that. So yeah. Let's go back and play another one of your songs. So here is Let You Down with Carly Jewel.
Down feeling, something just ain't right.
fantastic.
Thank you.
How do you get to actually record all these wonderful videos? What do you work with someone that is helping you out, or you have a bunch of friends? And because it can be very expensive to get into a production like that.
I do work with the same people. I work with Strongman Pictures, which is in Melbourne, which is a guy by the name of Daniel Armstrong and Ron as well. So we work with the two of those guys, and I've worked with those two since the very start. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a clinger. So when I find people that I work with, you know, really well, you know, I just kind of stick with working them. And, you know, I'm not with a label. I'm independent all the way. So I just figured it was better to build a huge team around me. So it's always the same people. So, you know, before we even start videos, or we've got to do, you know, photo shoots or anything like that or whatever, it's always the same people. They all know each other, and there's probably like a team of, you know, maybe 30 of us, and it's always the same people. So when we have these projects, you know, I call everyone in and we discuss what's, you know, what direction are we going to take. The Let You Down video, actually we played a show at that venue that night, and when I was looking at the venue, you know, for this show coming up, because I was like, wow, I've got to do a film clip that morning, start at 7 a.m., which was like a 5 a.m. start, and then we're going on stage at 10 o'clock at night, you know, so it was a huge day. And I was actually talking to the booker for that venue, and I said, you know, that's a really cool venue. I said, we're doing a film clip. And he said, well, where is it? I said, oh, you know, we're doing it in a big factory. And he said, do you want to do it at the venue? And I was like, oh, man, that would be awesome. And they actually used that venue for a lot of the scenes in Underbelly, so it was kind of cool to, yeah, so the bar in there where Dave's on the bar and that, and it's like, it's a really cool venue. There's some just amazing rooms there. It's such an old building, and it's just, it looks amazing. So yeah, we got offered to use that venue, so we're like, yeah, let's do it. So we filmed there all day from 7 a.m. in the morning, and then we basically stayed in the same clothes and went on stage at 10 o'clock.
Excellent. Way to go.
Yeah, it was such a big day, but it was so worth it.
I was wondering, though, going back a second, you talked earlier about how you were always present with your dad playing and everything. So what came first for you, singing or playing an instrument? And have you always been a singer then?
You know, I spent most of my life thinking I couldn't sing, like I had a really shit voice. And it was actually Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries. You know, I was listening to her when I was a teenager, and I was like, wow, she's got a really unique voice and vocal. And my grandmother said, oh, well, you sing like that, and she's got an amazing voice. And I was like, oh, so maybe I can sing. And, you know, I hadn't really tried to sing that much. I mean, I wanted to, but my nerves were such a big thing that I was really focused on like being a songwriter. So guitar was just, you know, learning guitar and then writing songs, because, you know, it's like a diary for me, and that's how my grandfather gave it to me, basically. It was like, you know, sometimes you'll feel like you have nothing at all, but you'll always have music. And, you know, even when he passed, you know, I didn't know how I was ever going to do music again. Like, that was our thing. And then it was only like 4 or 5 weeks after he'd passed, you know, I was on a, there was this live Facebook thing, and they wanted me to go there, and I just, to go to music was just like the most painful thing. Like, I didn't have it in me to go there. And then, you know, they were playing my video and all these people on this live feed, and I realized that, like, that was my home now, you know, like that's where I am with my grandfather again. Like, this is what we do. And it was like, I realized from what he told me when I was like 5, when he gave me that guitar, was like, this was that music family that I'd built up around me, and I wouldn't have that without him. And it was what made me just go to my home and realize that music was my home. And you know, so that was, it was, yeah, it was amazing to have that. But it was definitely songwriting at first, and then once I got over my nerves, and you know, I would go in like these singing contests and stuff when I was a kid, and I'd be so nervous. I'd literally, like, I'd have a friend with me holding their hand, and they'd be like, I was like, just come up on stage. Like, we can do whatever we want. Like, come with me. And then I'd sing, and then I'd either like nearly pass out or be sick, just from nerves. And when I come to Melbourne, you know, I really wanted a band, and I really wanted to, you know, do live music. And Yeah, I unfortunately, like, I always have these nerves, but yeah, I've just learned to live with them. And I think, yeah, it's because once the music starts, those nerves disappear. Like, I'm a complete animal. I don't even know who I am, you know. But yeah, it's definitely worth it, and it's my home, you know. It's good to be brave and do that, because that's you know, my grandfather left this gift, and now it's my turn to, you know, continue our story.
It's a beautiful, beautiful way to say it's my home about music. It's an incredible, powerful picture. For me, it's also something that saved my life, because I always say that music saved me from, you know, my parents died when I was very young. I started playing guitar in the house, and it's just something that I would do 12, 14 hours a day until, you know, I failed in school, but ended up playing good guitar. And it really genuinely did something to me, and still does. That it's very rewarding and calming, and it's a fantastic way to express yourself, of course. We all know that.
See, people always say, you know, I co-wrote a song with an Italian artist, actually, and we did Sawdust, and you know, we were talking about, like, writing and everything, and you know, that, you know, people's ideas of like, oh, when you've made it, and we were talking about it. I said, Jack, like, I have made it. I don't care if I'm singing at home in my bathroom on my own. For me, that is doing something that I love. But you know, to be able to share that and connect with other people is, like, you know, that's so amazing. You know, and we were just talking about that, and he said, you know, like, you're right. I said, because it's something that you need to be fulfilled in yourself. You know what I mean? You only live once. Like, you have to do what makes you happy, and whether it be in front of, like, you know, 5 people or 100 people or just no one at all, I'm happy to do what I am. And, like, yeah, I made it.
Yeah, you made it. I think, you know, when you save if you save that one person, starting from yourself, then yes, you've made it. It's life-changing. Talking about gigs, so what was your first gig like, ever, like, with the band? When you went to Melbourne and you said, I wanted a band, and you get the band together, you get the music, and you went out.
Well, you know, we had kind of, like, I found this, like, it was just a really shitty... It looked like an old milk bar, yeah? Because I had this, like Motley Crue, you know, like, finding this venue that I'd make my home. So it's called the Boogeyman Bar, right? And I kept going back there and kept getting bands. And now it's, like, one of the most amazing places in Melbourne. And it's putting the place on the map. Everyone knows about Boogeyman Bar, you know. And, you know, so before then it was, like, piece of shit. And we pretty much just did, like, some live rehearsals, yeah? And then we booked our first really show at the Whiskey. About 10 stories. So yeah, that's where we went, and that was nerve-wracking. I actually opened for Romantic Torture, so I think it was like a reunion show for them, so it was, like, you know, packed. The Whiskey was packed, and it was my first time as well using backing tracks, and I think my first song, something happened, and I ended up singing, like, the outro, like, the third kind of verse that kind of takes it into the bridge right at the start, and I was just like, oh god, I'm dead. Like, I was just like, I don't know what to do. Yeah, so I basically I just had to freestyle. I was like, well, no one knows my song. So yeah, that was my first real kind of show. It was a real big one from, you know, I just needed to make sure that's really what I wanted to do, and I just wanted to, you know, like, go and get my photo out the front of the building and upstairs where Joan Jett did, because, like, you know, she's pretty cool and I love her. And yeah, so that was it. And then, you know, we come back and just started, that was it. We just started smashing a lot of shows in Melbourne.
Nice.
Everywhere, really.
Nice, really nice. I like that reference. It's my song. No one knows the lyrics to that. It's such a great escape.
Well, I had the producer that was that I was working with on that song. He was there, and it was actually something happened with the sound guy, I think, or something. And I don't know. I just heard like the timing go out and then I got lost and I was like, so you know what? I made the rule after then that we'd never use backing tracks again. If we need a big full sound, we'll just keep adding musicians, you know, whatever we need. And I never wanted to be limited either, to be like set from start to finish, because sometimes there's like these, you know, I'll yell out to Adrian, I want him to keep playing that guitar solo and just go crazy, and then he runs off in the crowd. But if we're set from start to finish how we're going to play, then we can't, there's no movement for, you know, rock and roll. So yeah, we don't use backing tracks. We just plug in and rock out. That's the rule. I was like, no backing tracks ever again. And you know what, we've done pretty well, and you know, we can get really loud as well when we don't, you know.
The chemistry is something special with the band.
Yeah, I mean, every time. There is not one, like, we never do Sid and Nancy the same. Never, ever. The ending will either be extended or the start will be extended, or, you know, it'll just get crazy and, you know, we just go with the moment. That's how it is. I don't know how the real ending goes. We just know in the moment how it's going to go, you know.
Fair enough. I'm going to ask you a bit about promotion, of course, for who doesn't know it. So Carly does an amazing work promoting, and she said she's independent all the way through, and she's rocking it all their way. But let's talk about promotion and being a bit of marketing manager, as well as a media manager, as a graphic designer, and everything. So the world of being of a musician is so much, it was difficult once, but it's so much full now in terms of what one has to do to emerge. And yeah, so how do you do that?
Look, you really just need to, you know, make sure you build a really good package up around you, and like, you know, as well, like on Tuesdays, you know, I work at AMR, which is another radio station, and you know, we just play all these Australian bands and get them out. And Wednesdays with Sense Music Media as well, we go live on Instagram and speak to musicians about what you can be doing now to get ready for when things come up. So your EPKs, you know, you've just got to have like a nice little package that you can send out and just be ready and include, you know, if you can do a lot of it on your own, go for it. I spent 10 years doing it on my own. It's really only been, I would possibly say this year, I've spent money more on like radio promotion and all that kind of stuff, because everything I've just done myself, I've been able to do myself. And plus I have my manager, Mark Delbeth, helps me with a lot of stuff as well. You know, so you've just got to, you know, prepare. So, you know, when you've got a new song coming, you know, make sure you've got that campaign built up around it, you know, to really push it out into the world. Especially if you're not playing live, like that's the big thing now. We've kind of gone from that huge shift of now everything's like online, our releases. When we opened in Melbourne for like those 7 days, there were a few releases that week and they kind of got lost. Because it's like, we're going to go back to like digital. So they actually went and did a big live show. And then it was like, just kind of lost in the hype of like the digital, you know, how we've become. So, you know, just kind of set that stuff up around you and yeah.
Make it work.
I mean, it's good to have people around you and, you know, like helping you and mentoring you and, you know, just ask and reach out. Like, it's, and honestly, like I've been doing this for like 14 years, like with the band, but every single time you release something, you learn something new. Like I constantly think, why did I do that? Next time I won't do that. And then I, you know, I'm learning all the time. I'm always learning.
We always are. There's so much to learn. I'm loving these interviews because I'm learning so much. So it's a bit of a give and take as well. Let's talk about AMR for who don't know who that is. So
I work at AMR and we have a podcast and we're an online radio for Australian musicians and Pacific Islands. So my team that I work with is called Heavy Reborn. So we have all the new releases, you know, weekly, like a lot of rock and heavy rock. So we cover like the metal and the doom and I mean, I have become a big Doom fan. I tell Jay every week I try and get him ready. Let's start a band because I really want to play bass. It seems like, and my bass player gives me shit because I always say, Dave, like, it's so much fun to like do nothing and rock out. Like, it's literally, you can be the person rocking out on stage because you're not doing very much. even though that's not the case, Dave. Dave is an amazing bass player, and you do have to do a lot. But yeah, it seems like fun. So doing bassist might be my next job.
Sounds great.
And yeah, so if you want to, you know, and you have new tracks, you can send them over to AMR. Yeah, or fire me, and we'll get it happening. Get an interview. And when we open again, back to live music, we actually are going out and we do the interviews and the live reviews and podcasts and film on the night, and we're going to I'm actually trying to put a heavy showcase together of all the heavy bands that want to just jump on a big lineup and do a huge show. I joke about taking them to Canberra, but I'm actually thinking that's where I'm gonna hold my Heavy Reborn Festival in Canberra, because we always say every week how much we hate it. So I was like, let's go.
You get to keep your enemy closer.
Yeah, but now apparently the music scene there is like quite amazing. So I think it'll be well worth going there. There's some really cool bands in Canberra.
So if you heard that, if you're from Canberra or anywhere, just reach out to Carly. And then there is Sense Music Media, which is a collective of great music lovers, fans, interested, just creating great content to support music as well.
Yeah, so I'm officially a team member now. Jimmy made me a team member. I was very excited for that. You know, I love just being around music, finding artists. Like, I'm always out looking for music. And you know, just supporting artists. And yeah, so we just kind of were like a little bit not doing much and knowing that we could be doing more. So I kind of spoke to Jimmy and he was like, I've got so much stuff to do and I just can't get it done. I said, man, let's just do it. Like, how about we do this? And, you know, I think the other day I was speaking to him, it was like doing like 6 reviews or something in one day. Like, he had all this stuff to do. And he just, I was like, you can do it, man. He had it all done like by that night. And then we did our live. You know, so it was really good. And we said, even if we just go live and we only motivate each other, you know, it's still better than nothing. And he was able to do heaps, you know, like, he's just killing it now. And, you know, we always want practice in, you know, because we're talking to artists. I was like, you know, we've got to, you know, it's good to talk to other artists and, you know, have these interviews, and it helps us as well. You know, always talking to bands and that. And it's been really good. Like, we've done really well, and we've had some radio people on there for, you know, promotion from Australian radio promotion, which they have an Instagram page as well and a website. So if you are, yeah, looking to do that, they are great to run a campaign with. They're the people I use. I'm going to use them again. And Jimmy from Sense Music Media, they just... you know, they put together these packages of EPKs, reviews, interviews, photos, absolutely. If you need a package done with those guys, like, you get your radio together and you get a package with those guys and you're set for a single release or an introduction to the world of who you are. And that's really important. And we just wanted to kind of bring that out to, you know, maybe young artists or people that were learning to record at home right now. But didn't know the next step because they hadn't ever done this at home before. So, yeah, it's worked out really well. We love doing it every week.
And is it only limited to hard and heavy, or is it open to other kinds
of music? Sense Music Media, our music, what we do, our lives, we've got all kinds of artists on there. At AMR, we have more than one show. So if it's dance and electronic, there's room for all the genres, send them in, because we have different shows as well. It's not just Heavy Reborn. I'm just one team of AMR. If you have like listening and you did like Dancing with the Devil, it is through Rimorg Records as well. Massive shout out to John at Rimorg Records for putting us on that and releasing a single and believing in us. And yeah, thank you so much for having me here. We do jump on our Facebook page, our Instagram, hit us up. I do have merchandise and CDs, and I love meeting everyone and making it all part of my rock and roll family. So So yeah, come and hang out with me on a live, or send me a message.
Thank you very
much. Or I'll catch you at a show. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you,
Carly. And don't forget to jump on Unsung Songs Down Under. Subscribe to the YouTube. Listen, give it a share. It's free to share. And yeah.
And we just do this for the love of good music. That's all why we do it. All right. Thank you very much. And see you next time. And hear you next time with Unsung Songs Down Under. This is September by Carly Jewel.
I carry you.